Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, it's a cloudy, gloomy afternoon, but the sun is shining in here. I have Senator Billy O'Dell sitting across from me today. How you doing, Billy?
Doing great, Ann. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. Things are starting to ramp up down there at the State House. Got a lot of activity going on. Have you had to stay over any?
Well, the latest we've stayed at this point was about 9 o'clock one night, and we usually get out around 3 or 4, so Thursday afternoon. Yeah. So it hasn't been too bad so far.
So far. What do you think are going to be the big issues as far as the Senate is concerned with this term?
Well, there's always a lot of big issues, but I think one of the major factors we're going to be talking about or getting something done on would be the ethics reform. And also, we're going to be talking about highways. We've got to do something to bring our highways up to par. And that's going to be probably a long debate on how we're going to attack that.
What do you, you know, Governor Haley, I know, has said she wasn't in favor of putting any gas tax on it. And now she is looking at it as a possibility. What do you think, or what is the general, maybe what you're feeling and what you're hearing down there in the Senate?
Well, what I'm hearing from constituents, as well as what I'm hearing from other senators, is the fact that we're going to have to increase the gas tax in order to get anything done. Now she's put some stipulations on what she would support and what she would not. And I guess that's where we are. We're going to try to work together with the governor to try to come up with something that will be beneficial to the whole state. I don't think we can continue to just kick the can down the road and say
we're not. It's been kicked a long time.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm at the age that I can remember dirt roads in South Carolina, and I don't see a lot of them nowadays. And I certainly don't want to go back to them, particularly on a day like today when you'd be on a muddy road.
Sure. And, of course, we have, what, the fourth largest road system in the country.
We do, and that I think
public
that's
public road system, correct?
That's correct, and I think the reason for that is that at one point we were agrarian society. Agriculture was one of our number one exports. It still is a major export in our state, our economy in our state. But the state paved all types of roads, just farm to market roads, and we're seeing the results. We can't maintain them at this point with the amount of money that's coming in. And one reason the money has decreased is because of the more fuel efficiency, and it's all based on that per gallon tax that you pay.
Sure.
And since fuel efficiency has become pretty good, much better than it was, say, 10, 15 years ago, the money has decreased to the DOT, and also the hybrid cars. It makes a difference.
Plus, there are certain industries that get that are exempt from paying taxes on that. Isn't that right? Some of the farmers and even the railroads.
The I don't know about the railroads. I know that they are some of the they have the foreign tags that are cheaper, I think, than I think with diesel you would probably say, yeah, in the foreign economy, you would probably not charge the tax on the foreign diesel, but. That would be the only exemption that I can think of as far as the farmers are concerned.
Now, what about tags and all these different things that they're looking at to raise the revenue and making the tax code a little more equitable when it comes to pontoon boats and all these type of taxes, which have really been flattened out to only a certain amount? What do you think about those?
Well, I think we're going to have to evaluate every situation. I don't want to single out any single part of the economy and say we're just going to tax that and get the money to do what we need to do. As you said, it's got to be a fair and equitable tax, and we don't want to. I mean, I don't want to get into a situation where we're overtaxing people to the extent where it's really going to be a burden to them. But you know, with a gas tax, we've been paying $3 a gallon for gas for several months.
Yes.
Now it's down to $2.
Right.
So I don't think we're going to overburden people if we put a gas tax on.
Isn't it amazing, though, that once the price goes down, it's something that we look at?
Sure.
I mean, seriously, you know. When it was $3 and $4 a gallon, nobody was saying anything about it. But drop the price of gas a gallon, and Well, we could look at that.
Well, you know, nobody wants to put a tax on it any time. But I think we're at the state in this, you know, in our economy, where if we do not do something for our infrastructure, particularly on roads and bridges, then we're not going to have the economic development that we've enjoyed in the last several years. And it won't happen overnight. We've got to do this now in order to get these highways and bridges ready for, in the next several years. So, you know, we've got to move on this.
We do need to move on this. And one of the other things is the money that was set aside with the Interstate Bank. We haven't seen a lot of movement on that. What was it, $500,000 that was put aside? It takes a long time for them to make decisions. And we had one of the people from Davis and Floyd here talking mm-hmm. about how long, Jerry Timmons, how long it takes once a decision has been made to do something and all the nuts and bolts, we should say, to try to get a project moving. There's a project out here on Alexander that they want to do. And he goes, every time they turn around, they're asking for more paperwork, more specs, more this type of thing.
Well, and I think Jerry's entirely correct. I think we've got too much bureaucracy within DOT. We've got some great people that work for DOT, but they're having to deal with regulations and mandates that have been sent down to them. And there's a committee being formed that will begin to find out exactly what are all these regulations? How do we get rid of them? Can we get rid of them and
sure.
still be safe?
Right.
And I think we can. I'm sure that some of them are necessary, but I don't think all of them are. And we don't need to just continue to shuffle paper around in order to get a project done. It ought to be able to be handled expediently. And unfortunately, I don't think that's happening at this time. But there's a reason why it's not, and I don't have that answer to that reason. But with a committee formed to look and try to find out what is going on and what's wrong?
Right.
That's going to be the big question.
Sure. Now, of course, you know, it's another year, and, you know, we've just been talking a little bit about the tax code. Is there any stomach for redoing our tax code here in South Carolina?
I don't hear that much about it. I think we should, and I would love to see. I think the Clemson University came out several years ago with a plan that looked good to me, and, of course, it got nowhere off the ground. I haven't heard any sentiment about anyone that's really got a movement going to try to get it moving again, but we've got resources in the state, such as Clemson and Carolina, some of these research institutes that can show us how we should be doing things and maybe do it better. But unfortunately, a lot of times people get stuck in one track and they don't want to move. That's very unfortunate. So we've got to start being more objective and try to find better
okay.
ways.
There
better ways to do things.
He got real excited about the about his microphone here. Okay.
Yeah.
I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We got Senator Billy O'Dell with us here this afternoon. We were just talking a little bit about the taxes, and of course it's a subject which is very much in discussion, and as we're talking about the roads, it is part of that discussion too. Governor Haley wants to tie some of the increase with a gas tax to certain stipulations for the taxes, and of course, then we've got businesses coming into our state, and you and I were just talking about how our state always has to make usually some type of deal to get them into the state. So because we're looking at North Carolina, we're looking at Georgia. So it's a very competitive and very difficult.
Well, there's no question about it. And, you know, I think we can see the results of 20-something years ago when BMW came to this state. We at that time, I was in the legislature at the time, and I think we gave incentives something like $125 million to get them to come to South Carolina. And I don't think anybody can argue the point that they haven't been a tremendous benefit for the entire upstate. We did the same thing with Boeing a few years ago. Now, we've got major Fortune 500 companies in the state that are attracting other industries to the state.
Sure.
And that's what you have to do to create jobs for the people, good-paying jobs. And I'm rather proud of the fact that I supported the BMW incentive and the Boeing incentive.
Sure. It's been a very big plus. Now, some people would say Amazon, though, when Amazon came, that was a dirty deal, for lack of a better way to say it, on the sales tax issue?
It was, and I don't know if you know or not, but I didn't support that because I didn't think it was fair. I didn't think it was fair to companies that have been here for years and years to have to pay the tax and Amazon come in as a new company and not have to pay it. But that's been sunsetted. It goes off this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think it will be renewed. But they did build a tremendous distribution center in Columbia or Lexington County, and that was a great help to the state. And I think they've got another one up in Cherokee County.
I think they are looking at something else. But still, those are issues that you deal with,
sure,
when you're trying to make everything come out and spell mother or whatever.
That's right. And sometimes people don't understand the way you vote. I caught a lot of flack for not voting for Amazon because they were creating a lot of jobs and actually spending a lot of money in South Carolina. But it just wasn't, to me, it wasn't fair to the people that have been here forever, such as myself and you.
Right.
And I like to take care of the people that's been here.
Sure, absolutely. Well, do you think, how soon do you think we're going to start seeing things on the road start? You know, they say, well, there's cones out there, there's this out there. But we've got more than repair work to go out there. We've got bridges that could fall in. And one of the things I can remember Governor Haley talking about on the bridges is that you've got water mains and sewers that go through some of these bridges. These are huge projects.
Well, Ann, that actually, you referred to it a while ago. We actually, I think it was maybe 3 years ago, when we came up with a plan that we were able to leverage certain things and put $1 billion on the table to do some of the projects that you're seeing the cones are for
right
now. And again, you're just now seeing some of those cones, and it's limited in what they've been able to do.
Sure.
So if we don't do something this session about it, doing whatever we have to do to get more money to DOT, those cones, that whatever money we put in now, you won't see those cones for another 2 or 3 years. So that's what I'm saying. We have got to act if we're going to continue to grow.
All right. So do you think something will be accomplished this term? I mean, we're here at the end of February. We've got till June here. You know this. You know how this goes. And it picks up pace here. We get into March, April, May. It's a very fast pace.
Well, I think they will. I know that the House has passed some bills relating to DOT. I don't know what they entail. And we have a bill that will be coming up after we get off of this after we get off domestic violence and ethics. I think the next bill up will probably be dealing with transportation and how we're going to address that. And it's a pretty complex bill. I've heard some aspects of it, but it's not complete yet. And I don't want to mention some of the things that
sure
I've heard, because I don't know. No, it's going to come out.
You know, another bill that's out there that has to do with taxes and everything, Senator Tom Davis. The bill about school choice and putting taxes, more property, as the state is looking at putting more property taxes, changing part of the law to allow them to collect more taxes. I know we had Tom Davis on, and he was talking about not putting this law through. You're looking at me. You don't know what I'm talking about, or
I know that there's some legislation. I think Tom's involved with it. To give more money to private schools, which would
school
be taken
choice
away from public schools. And I don't know if he has a plan, he might have a plan, that would prohibit taking any more money away from public schools. I support public education, and I support private education also, but I think we've got to continue to work with public education, because there's so many people that aren't going to take advantage of a private school, no matter what incentives you give.
Sure, even with school vouchers, you don't like school vouchers.
Well, I think some people would, mm-hmm. but again, we've got to educate everybody, not just people that and I like vouchers, but I can't support that until we can make certain that our public education is up to par.
Sure. I know it's on the I should have had the article here. I don't have it here. As to something to do with adding tax, what's the tax that supports the schools?
We've got several different ones. We have the EOI. It's 3 cents, and then we increase. I think it's about 6 cents.
Sales tax.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing now because we took the property tax off.
Right.
Everybody got a big cut on their property tax. And then we put all the school money was coming out of the sales tax. I think we put a penny or two pennies on for that. But then when we had the downturn, the sales tax didn't take care of it.
I think he was talking about there's a move afoot to put the property tax back on to fund the schools. But I could be wrong. I'm doing this from memory.
I don't think that will fly.
Yeah.
But I mean,
he was fighting against it. He hadn't introduced that one. He was fighting against that one. Whoever had introduced that.
Well, someone might have, but I don't think you're going to put. You'll see that go back on. Although, you know, in the big picture is the people that benefited the most weren't this area. We benefited somewhat. I benefited from cutting my taxes, property tax, but the big benefit receivers were down on the coast, where they got the $2 and $3 million homes, or even more than that. They're the ones that benefited the most.
Sure. This had to do with the Abbeville school system
and the
taxes, and it took them, 19 years or something to run this case through the state?
Right, and still, I think what the Supreme Court says, we should do whatever it is to get them back up to where they should
Indeed.
Be, but no ruling on it.
Yeah. All right, well, that's another topic to talk about, but... roads and ethics reform. What do you think about ethics reform? Is something going to happen on that? It's been kind of weak, like it's not going to happen.
I think the House has passed out some ethics bills, but we haven't seen them yet. And we're working on our ethics bill. I think we'll come together with a compromise of some type. I don't know. You know, that hadn't really been a big issue. I haven't had many people talk to me about, except the media, about ethics reform.
What do you think about it? Should it be the ethics? Doesn't it really revolve around the fact that if there is an issue, should it be decided amongst the senators and House, or should it be an outside panel?
You know, I don't care if we have an outside panel or inside, whatever. It doesn't matter to me because I think I basically know what's right and wrong, and I'm not concerned about it. And I think most people down there do, and the ones that don't, since I've been in the Senate, we've had 4 senators that have been expelled by the Senate Ethics Commission. I think they do a pretty good job there. So, you know, I guess you could say, well, everybody down there is going to be pure, but that's not the case. You don't have that in church, you're not going to have it in General Assembly.
You don't have it in church, you're not going to have it in General Session. Well, just in the last 2 years, there have been some pretty big, quote, ethics violations, and that seems to be bringing
But not more. In the Senate. Not in the Senate. Ours was big, but we kicked our guy out, so we addressed the problem.
Okay. But in general, should there be, do you think there should be an outside panel or not?
Well, as I said, it doesn't matter to me. They can put an outside panel in or keep it like it is. I'm not, nobody's even talked to me about ethics.
Wow.
Except
the
newspapers and you.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you know, it's out there in the media. I thought I should bring it
up.
All right.
No problem.
All right. Well, we are here with Senator Billy O'Dell. If you got a question or a comment, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. South Carolina Radio News is up, and we'll be back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. Right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, talking about a lot of different issues, touching on a lot of different issues here this afternoon. One of them, the state Senate is voting to keep the gun ban in domestic violence. Billy, that's one that y'all talked about last week, and are you going back to hopefully finish it up this week?
We'll be talking, yes, we're going to be on that tomorrow when we go back in session. When we adjourn with that coming up as the next order of business.
So what exactly is this about, and where do you stand on it?
There's several sections in there. Now, personally, I think that if a person has used a weapon and with domestic violence, then they should be banned from ever having a weapon again.
Okay.
I don't think that's necessarily true in every case. So I want to see exactly how this bill is going to come out. I don't want to ban someone that had a little problem, and that happens. I mean, we keep living in a world that says it doesn't happen. It does happen. And a man and a wife have a little disagreement, and maybe one of them gets slapped or hurt. I don't want to take the guns away forever, but I think that there should certainly be a penalty for that. And, we really have to get together on what type penalty should be there.
Sure. And they certainly have, domestic violence certainly has come to the fore in our country, not just in South Carolina, but in our country. They're taking a whole different approach to it now. And that should have a big impact on South Carolina.
Well, South Carolina is leads the nation in domestic violence. I mean, that's a known fact. And we education is the only thing that's going to help that. People have to understand that you just can't slap somebody and get away with it, or have a fight and get away with it. I mean, that's what we did years ago, and it's continuing that way, and things have got to stop.
Yes. One of my favorite new songs is a very old song. It's by Patsy Montana, and she sings this song, "I Didn't Know the Gun Was Loaded."
Yeah, well.
It worked for her back then. I don't think it'll work now.
No, I don't think so.
Well, and everything as far as the gun laws that we have going, is there anything new developing on whether it's carrying them in restaurants or any of these things? Has that continued to be okay?
Yeah, that's still fine. I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, but I think there have to be certain exceptions, such as domestic violence. If weapons are involved, then we've got to take a look at it and see what we need to do.
The problem is there's so much domestic violence. What do we do in the court systems?
Well, the court system seems to be hammering people pretty well nowadays with if they're accused or convicted of domestic violence.
And what about our jails, though?
Well,
I mean, they're pretty full and actually over full, aren't they? So.
Yeah, but that's not just domestic violence. There's a lot of people there for that, but a lot of our jails are full because of smoking marijuana, things like that, which to me should be something we ought to look at real hard before we spend the kind of money we have to do to incarcerate people for what I consider a minor crime.
So Mike Pitts has a law about marijuana and not having it on your record forever, mm-hmm. and not going to jail for that. Then am I to think that you might support that?
Well, I haven't seen it because it's in the House, But I agree with that concept. I think that you can ruin a person's life, a young person's life, by incarcerating them and having this on their record. I mean, it's just the technology we have today, it's different from it was 30, 40 years ago. If that's on your record and it comes up when you're out there trying to get a job, maybe you've changed your life around, but you still have that record hanging over you. And Mike Pitts is an ex-police officer. He has had to deal with this problem. He's familiar with it. And I like the ideas that he has on that subject.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'd be interested to see if that one comes through this session or not. Yeah, that would be I think that'll be an interesting one to watch.
It will be controversial, there's no doubt.
Absolutely. Well, that's what Mike likes, though. I think he likes a little controversy. Now, what about Fort Jackson? That's another one. That's, I guess, a federal issue, but it still affects our state. In fact, it was just in the news this afternoon. There is talk of cutting back on Fort Jackson. Where do you stand on that, Billy? I mean, that would be a travesty.
It would be a tragedy. I mean, Fort Jackson is one of the largest training centers we've got in the United States. And to cut back there with what we're facing with the world situation, to me, would just be criminal. And I would hope that the people at the federal level will certainly take that into consideration. We need our professional troops trained and trained well. They do a good job at Fort Jackson. And I would
is there another, a blue state that might do as good a job since we're a red state here?
I don't know, but I would hope that we wouldn't be political in that type of issue.
Oh, come on now, Billy.
I think that we've got to protect the country, and those young men and women down there are doing a great job.
Sure. And of course, it looks like our country is headed into more conflicts, regardless of whether President Obama wants to put boots on the ground. It looks like that is the direction eventually, at some point, it will go to.
Now, I agree with you, and it's really, really frightening to think what we have facing us in the world condition today. It's really, as I said, frightening, because it seems like every time you look around, there's another trouble spot, and everybody's saying, what are you going to do, United States? Well, we can only do so much. We can't take care of all the world's problems. It's time for the Arabs and the Europeans to get involved in more than they have.
Don't you think, though, if the United States took a more aggressive role, that we would pull the Europe and these type of countries, Europe and the Middle East, in a whole lot better? I think it's this, I want to say, using the word lead from behind rather than standing up and saying, okay, you go over here, you do this, and we'll do this type thing is a problem for the people. Just look what the president of Jordan did when their pilot was burned. I mean, he went back over there, jumped in a plane, and was leading missions. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should be doing that, but he was very aggressive.
Well, being a king, you can be more aggressive than you can as in a democracy, which we have. I agree that he did the right thing, but we have to go by the rules that we live under. I think the United States doesn't necessarily have to be more aggressive. We've just got to be standing up, and we've got to insist that these countries that are our friends, are supposed to be our friends, stand up with us. Turkey's a good example. I mean, we've spent money over there. They've got a standing army that they won't use. I don't know.
Now Turkey is going to get more involved.
Well, they should have been involved a long time ago. I mean, I understand it's all kind of political ramifications, because you're dealing with tribes of people that are different than thinking in their part of the world. And
well,
they fight each other.
How about, well, yes, they have a history of that.
Yeah, they
do. But what about the United Emirates that was supposed to be in, but they were sitting on the sidelines for the last month and hadn't been doing anything, and nobody even knew it?
Well, from what I understand, I think they're one of the wealthier nations over there, and they didn't have the correct armament or something. I'm sure they could have purchased that on the market somewhere if that was the case.
Yeah, but it is an issue, and just the fact that it could be coming to the homeland here. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the Mall of America. And who knows what else? This is the problem. There, it is not. We do appear to be a little bit out of control, and we don't appear to be as strong as we have at other times in our history.
And I really don't know how you can possibly control terrorism if these people are that dedicated to dying and taking other people with them. I don't know how you control it.
I mean, should we have jumped in? Should we have done something sooner? Is it out? You know, when President Obama called it the JV, the JV. Should we have taken a stronger stance then?
I think we probably should have, but we should have at least had the Iraqi army stand up better than they did. And I don't know what we could have done to make them do that, because what I've read, there was a lot of corruption going on there that the mm-hmm. soldiers weren't being paid, and again, that tribal sectionalism. I don't know what you do in that case like that. It's a dilemma.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I just don't want our people having to go over there and die for, or get wounded for something that these folks ought to be doing on their own.
Well, I think if we don't, then we could have it on our doorstep, though.
Well, I think we can too, but we can't prevent terrorism. These people are. You can't close your borders to everybody. You would kill your economy if you did. So you've got to, we're spending billions and billions of dollars on Homeland Security trying to control it to the best of our ability. But I don't think you'll ever be able to control it entirely. As long as you've got people dedicated to doing that type, you're just not going to be able to do it.
You're right. All right. Well, we are here with Senator Billy O'Dell. We've been on the national level. We're going to come back around to the state level. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. Having a heated conversation here, just talking about actually Fort Jackson. And the thing we're talking about is how many people across these United States have got their training right there at Fort Jackson, and how many people come back to South Carolina based on their experience. I had a conversation with Congressman Clyburn about this very fact. It's a huge number of people that went through Fort Jackson and loved the state and came back to retire.
Well, yeah, and you know, what's not to love in South Carolina? We've got a great climate. We've got great people.
We do.
Well, not today.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a great state to be born in. I was born here, and I love it. And a lot of people come to this state.
Yeah.
For example, we've got President of Piedmont Tech over there, Ray Brooks. He went through Fort Jackson and took his training there.
And so many retirees retire back here to South Carolina. So it's not only a viable source as a training tool here in South Carolina, but it's also a very positive recruitment for the state. So we've been talking about some of the issues. We talked about Fort Jackson. We've talked about what's happening up there in Congress just a little bit with all the terrorism. And somebody just called in and said, Billy, how come you didn't go ahead and run for Congress? Or maybe Senate, I don't know. But why didn't you run for Congress? I mean, how long have you been down there in the Senate?
I've been down there over 20 years. I can assure you, I don't think I want to go to Washington. I like South Carolina too well, and I prefer to stay here and do what little I can to help the people of South Carolina on the local level.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have a good group up there right now, but that is a thing that is getting harder and harder to get good people across this country to stand up for politics and for what there is. There's such a beating that you can take out there if you ever do throw your name in the hat.
Well, you get beat up all the time anyway, so that's nothing new. But, you know, I respect these guys that go, the ladies and men that go to Washington and give up of their time. They give up a lot of their family life, particularly the younger guys that have, you know, children at home,
sure,
going to school. I don't think I would like that environment, but I respect them for doing it, and they do a good job.
Sure. You know, as you've been looking at some of the candidates that are out there, I think we just had, Scott Walker here in South Carolina, and we've had some of the others. Are you looking at any of them seriously, or where are you at, Ton?
As far as the presidential?
Yes, the presidential.
You know, no, I haven't looked at anyone. I haven't really given that much thought, but because I know when the primary season starts, you're gonna get all kind of different views, and I think I'm going to wait a while. I kind of like Jeb Bush for the fact that I think he's very capable. I think he can help bring the country together better. We've got to find somebody that can unify us more so than we've had in the past.
Sure. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that comes together. Now, other things that are happening down there in the Senate, how's the budget looking this year?
Well, the House is on the budget. Now, they'll probably pass it out next week. We haven't seen it yet because we won't get it until the end of March. But from what I understand, they're being able to fund things that are necessary. And I don't think there's a great deal of what we call new money coming in over last year. But we did pretty well last year with the budget. And if we can maintain that and add a little more, particularly to your health services, I think we'll do fine this year.
Now, what is this bill about? The state panel moves towards a permanent ban on powdered alcohol. What the heck is this? I'm not even familiar with this.
I'm not familiar with powdered alcohol either, but I've heard a little debate on it, and it seems to be that from what I'm hearing from the medical folks, that it could be quite dangerous and easily to obtain.
Okay. Well, the product is marketed as a quick way to create shots of liquor by mixing the contents of a pouch with water or another liquid to create mixed drinks. The products would be manufactured. Lipsmark is hoping for approval by the end of spring. And they passed, last year it says, South Carolina lawmakers passed a temporary 1 year last May, and they wanted time to study the issue. But now it says the Senate leaders are moving to make the ban permanent.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the conversation I've heard. It has not been debated on the floor at this point. And I'm not on, and I think that's in medical affairs, and I'm not on that committee.
Okay. Now, you also got an award last week, I do believe.
I did.
Yes. What award did you get?
It was from the United Way. They gave me an award for, you see here, it was the Common Good Award for Financial Stability.
Financial stability.
Yeah.
Is it the fact that you've been there?
It's probably the fact that I don't spend a lot of money.
Spend a lot of money. Well, you know, it does, I think it really helps to have people that are in business.
Mm-hmm.
Working at the state level or even on the congressional level, having somebody that knows how to squeak and stretch a dollar is really important, isn't it, Billy?
I think it's very important for, you know, even in your personal life, you've got to realize you can't, just because you got a few dollars in your pocket, you go out and buy something. I've never been that way and don't think I ever will be. And that's the way I try to work in the state government, is try to see where we can save money rather than spend money, or utilize it better.
Sure. What do you think that Greenwood County and Ware Shoals in this area really needs coming in? There was a big article in the, maybe it was Sunday's paper, about bringing in more buildings so that we can get more business in here, spec buildings. Is that the primary thing we need, or what are you thinking, Billy?
Well, I sit on the Rural Infrastructure Board in Columbia. And that's one of the things that Bobby Hitt, who's the head of the Department of Commerce, and he's done an excellent job locating industry, that's one of the things that he's telling us is we don't have any buildings available. We've taken up all the buildings that are suitable,
right,
to bring in an industry, and we need some spec buildings. And I'm sure that's what's coming down in the county. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that Heather Jones told me the last time I talked with her that we were just about out of any buildings in Greenwood
Correct.
County, so I understand
Correct.
Where they're coming from, yeah.
So, but across the state, are they running short on buildings, or are there parts of the state that could really benefit from the fact that we don't have any here?
I'm sure they are, and maybe they're the ones that ought to be trying to build spec buildings, but unfortunately, these old mill buildings that we see in a lot of them have been demolished now, but they are not adequate for the type of industry that we're bringing into the state. So that they look, some of them look real good, and they're sitting there. Why don't you use that? Well, we have to see what the customer wants. What does this industry want?
I think, and I read that 30-foot ceilings is one of the things that's real important.
That's true. And my company recently purchased an old Milliken building in Honeypath. And it works perfectly for our use, but it would not suit for, someone that need to hire ceilings.
Yeah. So, and plus the ability to expand, I think, is another
issue.
If you have a 60,000 square foot building, you may want to be able to add another 100,000 square feet.
That's correct. Yeah, I think it's I think Greenwood would benefit probably from investing in a spec building. I think that would give the people in Columbia, the Department of Commerce, something that they could bring people to show anyway.
Sure. How do you think just overall Greenwood is doing? I understand we've got the going to have the largest air show in the state of South Carolina right here in Greenwood. Of course, we got the Symetra Tour coming up. That's a biggie in May, and then of course the air show will be in June. How do you think? What is the biggest thing you hear from people? Are they pleased with the direction? What are they thinking?
From what I'm hearing, mostly is positive. People are pleased with the direction. The Symetra Tour, that is something exceptional that Mr. Medford brought to Greenwood and has worked hard to enhance it.
Sure.
And I think this year is going to be better than last year. That's something that's national prominence. And speaking of national prominence, our young man from Donald's won the Bassmasters.
Bassmasters,
that's great.
Ashley, yes.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful. Things like that. Greenwood itself is a pretty town. People love to come to Greenwood. I think our tourism is expanding somewhat, and that's what we've got to continue to work on. The Symetra Tour, again, that's part of tourism. Old 96.
Now, how about Ware Shoals, though?
Ware Shoals has not developed to the point that it's just been really, really tough there. That's an old mill town. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the mill is demolished now and gone, and not a lot of industry there. And it does have the four-lane highway coming through,
right.
Or not through the town, but right on the outskirts. And I think at some point in time you might see some development up there as time goes by. I would hope so.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Faye Sprouse was on the show with me, and the biggest thing she said, she didn't ask for more money for the schools, although she definitely could use it. She said, please get us more jobs.
Yeah.
I thought that was an awesome understanding of what it takes.
Listen, Faye's a local girl, and she has done a wonderful job there at District 51. I served on the board at District 51 back in the 70s, so I understand some of the problems she faces, and she has managed her money well and produces a good product. I mean, they have done very well up there.
Yeah, they've got some Blue Ribbon School awards
and
this
and
type
of
thing.
You would expect it from a small town that really has no industry located in the town.
Exactly. Yeah. So hopefully when, what's the new one that's coming that should be open here very soon? Palmolive opening
Colgate
up.
Colgate Palmolive.
That'll make a difference. Mm-hmm. But we need more industry here so we have more jobs so the growth can continue.
Yeah, I think there are things in the works that will probably be happening that will bring more industry in.
Absolutely. Well, Senator Billy O'Dell, thank you for taking time to talk to us today.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Always a pleasure to be with you.
All right. Thank you so much, Billy. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.